Okay.
Here we go.
Ah, fucking hell, man.
Right?
Whew, okay. Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to a special emergency. Holy shit, is this happening? Episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewire News Group podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that is sweaty, just extremely sweaty right now. I'm Rewire News Group's senior editor of law and policy, Imani Gandhi.
And I'm Jess Piclo, Rewire News Group's executive editor. Rewire News Group is the one and only home for expert repro journalism that inspires you to take a deep breath, folks. We're going to get through all of this together. And the Boom Lawyered podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners.
So Jess.
Wow.
You yeah. and I went out last night in Denver for dinner with our boss, Galena Espinoza, and our development director, Nicole Shea. We were having a lovely dinner, and then your phone started to explode.
It literally did.
You said something like, this is like when Scalia died. Let me see what happened. And turns out, Politico drops a draft opinion overturning Roe versus Wade in the Dobbs v. Jay case, and the shit hit the fan. I think I ordered another cocktail, and then it was just the four of us on our phones, like trying to figure out what the hell was going on with you. You were like, it was like you in Minority Report with like those walls, you know, those clear walls. You're like moving stuff around. Like, I got very.
Here I am, Tom Cruise, like swiping that and swiping left.
Exactly.
Zooming in and zooming out.
What the hell happened yesterday?
I don't know. I had to have a limoncello. That's what happened.
I ordered a port. I'm not a fancy bitch. I don't really drink port, but I ordered a port.
Listeners, it's true. Last night, Politico dropped this leaked draft opinion of Dobbs.
When does that ever? Have you ever heard of that happening?
Never.
A leaked opinion?
Never. We'll talk about just how unprecedented that is. But this draft opinion was written by, do I have to say it?
I have to say it.
It was written by Sam Alito.
Little Sammy Alito, little angry Sammy Alito.
Pew, pew, finger guns. I don't know why I think of that, but here it is. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If the reporting from Josh Gerstein and Alexander Ward at Politico is correct, listeners, we're in the bad place. What Sam Alito is proposing is a full reversal of Roe and Casey. In the draft opinion that was leaked, he goes on to say, there's no constitutional right to abortion. Abortion never shows up in the Constitution. It doesn't exist. Apparently, Imani, you and I have been high for like the last 50 years.
I mean, that's kind of true. At least the last 10.
But really, this draft opinion is the upside down of constitutional civil rights jurisprudence. Alito suggests that this decision will return the abortion question back to the states, which we all know is bullshit because we all know that conservatives are coming for a national ban, and functionally says that all civil rights law jurisprudence is on the table. Back to Brown. So the things that we have been talking about time and time again about the ways conservatives use abortion to come for democracy, for example, the way conservatives use abortion to come for other rights like marriage equality, birth control, interracial marriage. We're here.
Yeah.
And it's really not great.
And we've been talking about this power grab, right? We have been focusing, laser focus on this power grab. And that's what this is, right? I went back and listened to our appearance on Gaslit Nation with Andrea. I called her Andrea the other day, and I felt bad because it brought back 90210 vibes. I was like, Andrea, it's Andrea Chalupa and Sarah Kenzier. And the things that we were saying 4 months ago were so, I feel like they were so prescient, so trenchant. Mm-hmm. And then literally 3 days later to have this opinion drop, it was... I expected it, but it was still kind of a punch to the stomach.
100%.
Right? I mean, it's just 100%. Seeing it in words, to see him say that Roe was egregiously wrong from the start.
Yeah.
Ugh. But can you just explain what you mean when you say that all civil rights are on the line based on this draft opinion from Sam Alito?
Sure. So by unwinding Roe and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, Alito's draft opinion. And I just want to say, this is a draft, right? Like, things can change, but we need to take this seriously and as though it's real right now. So assuming nothing changes, unwinding Roe and Casey is the beginning of the unraveling of substantive due process, which we've talked a lot about on this podcast. And he functionally walks through that as a thought exercise. It says, substantive due process ain't what y'all think it is, basically. And that's really scary because that is the full sense of civic constitutional privacy rights that we have. And the conservatives on the court have just functionally broadcast that privacy doesn't mean for you and I the same thing as it means for them in constitutional terms.
Doesn't he also sort of acknowledge that there are these substantive due process rights that may not be subject to the same sort of wholesale reversal because of the right that exists? And how can we just not trust that because the man's a liar?
Well, right. I mean, you're right. He does say, oh, I mean, this is what conservatives do, right? They like run away from the damage as soon as they put it out there. The draft opinion is absolutely like, oh, don't worry. I'm not fully going to come for substantive due process. Some of those rights still exist. However, we know that that's garbage. Mm-hmm. We know that it's garbage. Sam Alito in this draft opinion says, really, this should return the abortion question back to the states, right? We know they're not returning the abortion question back to the states for long. We know they will create a constitutional fetal personhood right. Also doesn't exist in the language of the Constitution. Doesn't matter, right? They're lying liars who lie.
Right. Right.
That's what they do.
And that's really so frustrating. What you just said, I just want to react to that about how they're going to try to make us believe that fertilized eggs have 14th Amendment rights. That's not in the Constitution.
No.
And obviously, we are the types of people who understand that the 9th Amendment exists and that there are rights that are unenumerated in the Constitution that are retained by the people. And those rights include the right to not have to gestate a potential state interest in your own body.
Yeah.
But like, as you said, conservatives, they're lying liars who lie, and they cherry pick facts and circumstances to suit them.
Yeah. I mean, the draft opinion was even like, I don't know, abortion wasn't really that talked about in common law. Like, I mean, it is, you name an anti-choice talking point. Mm-hmm. All of the amici briefs that have been filed year after year after year by, you know, Americans for, or, you know, Americans United for Life and the Beckett Fund, all of those folks who have been advocating for a Roe reversal, all of their stuff is in there, you know? Yeah. And he's talking about the science of fetal heartbeats.
Which is, there's
no
heartbeat. Like, the 6-week embryos don't have freaking heartbeats. They don't have cardiovascular systems. So, and we've been talking about this for so long, and this has been on my mind for probably 7 or 8 years now, which is the onslaught of junk science and the wholesale acceptance of junk science by courts, by federal courts, simply because that junk science is incorporated into the legislation that is at issue.
Right.
It shouldn't be that a legislature can make up facts about biology and then have those facts be true in the, as a matter of law. I just
you know
let
what
me ask,
else?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, no, go on.
I was going to ask you a question. I wanted to ask you. So, what does this mean? Right, like. If this is real and leaked, let's assume this is it, that it is.
Yeah,
I think we can assume that none of the justices themselves leaked it because that's a bonkers. I mean, maybe we can't assume that. I don't know. I feel like we should be able to assume that, but your face is telling me that maybe we can't. So talk me through this.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, like, listeners, the unprecedented, I can't even describe how unprecedented this is. Historically, we have no example that we can look to say, hey, you know, when the justices were figuring out Brown versus Board of Education, you know, did the New York Times get a draft of that opinion? No.
Right.
No. I mean, so for us to even be doing a podcast over a leaked draft is wild. The
right.
court usually has that all locked down, but a leak happened. And that is a big deal. Now, is it the biggest deal? No. No, anybody who's out there like clutching their pearls about the court and its legitimacy over a leak. Like, the court lost its legitimacy a long time ago. Institutionalists, get on board. We need to fix this thing. So I don't know. I don't know who leaked. Like, last night, I was like, I don't know. I think it's probably Roberts and his clerks, you know, who are getting mad. But now it sounds like maybe there's going to be an investigation into the leak, and Roberts is calling for that. So you know he's mad. Like, this looks bad on him.
Particularly for someone who's so concerned about the court as an institution, and this guy who was going to sort of re-legitimize the court.
The
first justice since like the 19th century or what have you, to the first chief justice to have an opinion leaked.
Yeah.
That's not good. And also, I think it gives a little bit of credence to your theory that he's going to bounce, because after this, he might be like, I cannot control this court.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go take a lobbying job, make a cool couple mil, and see you bitches later.
He's young enough to go make a good living on the speaker circuit is all I have to say. And he can be a voice, a scare quote, voice of reason among the right and conservatives. And, you know, I mean, he'll do a Bill Barr, right? Like, that's what he will do. He'll get rehabilitated the way Bill Barr did. So, you know, but hey, you were suggesting that maybe there's some like silver linings here. You know, I think we can find some. Like, okay, this is definitely a draft opinion. Why leak a draft opinion unless you want to, I don't know, galvanize people, maybe pressure for a change? You know, one of the things that you and I were talking about last night when this news hit was the fact that Sam Alito wrote a barn burner of what turned out to be a dissent in Fulton versus City of Philadelphia that absolutely read like it was a majority opinion.
Fulton was the case that that litigated whether or not Jesus Christ, I can't even say. Can you explain what Fulton was? Because I can't even get my brain around it.
So Fulton is the case where conservatives were trying to get the Supreme Court to greenlight broadly not placing foster and adoptive kids with LGBTQ families. Like, it's a religious refusal case.
Or
non-Christian
families, too.
Or non-Christian families.
No foster kids for Jewish families either. Buddhists,
exactly.
Muslims, Hindus, whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. And so in that case last term, it was pretty clear. We really thought that the court was going to go for it and grant that kind of license to discriminate. And they didn't. But Sam Alito's opinion in that case read like he was prepared for it to do so. And so maybe one of the motivations behind whoever leaked this is to try and create some internal pressure among the justices to modify or change the direction. Mm-hmm. That's possible.
But like,
I don't know how likely, but it's possible.
Who are they trying to pressure, though? Because we know that three of the FedSoc 6 were installed by Donald Trump specifically for this purpose.
Right.
So it's not like a leaked opinion is going to make Brett Kavanaugh change his mind. I mean, Brett, we saw him at his confirmation hearings.
Yeah.
He's been aching to stick it to Democrats and to Hillary Clinton and the Illuminati and everybody else who was against him and PJ and Squee. Right?
Yep.
I think we can be pretty sure that it's not going to be one of the liberals' justices clerks, right? Like, I don't see Sonia Sotomayor or Elena Kagan's clerks leaking an opinion like that. It's just too risky, particularly for women jurists. I think that their clerks would understand that that is way too risky for them. And then Breyer, what would the point be?
Yeah.
Right? He's got Justice Jackson coming in behind him. It's just, it all seems so risky unless it's to A, change the tenor of the opinion. Because like I said, Sam Alito talking about it's the most egregious wrong ever. It's a pretty big diss. Do people say diss anymore? Is that too 90s?
The kids still say diss.
The kids still say diss on the 19th, on the people who issued that opinion on that 1973 court. And it seems to me that that's the kind of thing that Roberts maybe wouldn't want to do, which is shit on all over this court that made this ruling that was so important and critical to so many women and pregnant people in this country. Even if he disagrees with it, he'd like to go about it the right way. But then you also have Ginni Thomas, right?
Right.
She's got access to the listservs. She's got access to Thomas's listserv of clerks. She's in the hot seat right now. Both of them are with the insurrection. This is a very good look over here tactic. Oh, we leaked an opinion. Now you can't see me. I'm over here, you know, all up in Mark Meadows' text messages with weirdly capitalized text messages. I mean, this is, whew. So, all right.
The bottom line, though, is that the court is fundamentally broken.
Busted.
It's been that way for a while, but the court is busted. And if anything, this can hopefully galvanize folks to that conclusion. I don't know that it saves abortion rights. I don't know that it saves marriage equality. I don't know that it saves civil rights writ large in the short term. But if folks can see this unraveling, the idea that, you know, the Supreme Court let a 6-week unconstitutional abortion ban take effect on the shadow docket, the fact that leaked opinions upending constitutional jurisprudence for the last 50 years are just floating around out there like a text message. Like, people need to understand that this is not how democracy can should work, but that is what is going on right now. So,
is it possible that this is like a Roe reversal soft launch? Right? Just to sort of get the temperature of the American people, or even if they're not planning to tone down the opinion, to just get it out there so we all can get used to it. Because we've been doing this for a decade. We've been warning people about this for a decade. It still hit me like a punch in the stomach.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe this could be an effort to ensure that people don't riot. I think Elie Mystal said that. They just leaked this to make sure people don't riot in June. So come June, are we still going to be this angry? I will be. You will be. But are the people who forgot about Texas as soon as 2 weeks had passed going to be? Yeah. Right? Are the people who are in my mentions defending that they should be able to wave coat hangers around and wear pink pussy hats? Are these people going to still be angry? Or are they in it for the symbolism and for the clout and for the sort of the zhuzh of it all? I don't know. But I have this doesn't help liberals. And you see people like Ilya Shapiro and these other conservative legal scholars saying, oh, well, this is just an attack by the radical left because they're pissed off that, It doesn't even make any damn sense. There's no reason why liberals would do this that I can think of. None that makes any sense anyway.
No. And I think that point that you just reiterated from Ellie is a really smart one. You know, one of the motivations for doing a leak around something like this is to diffuse the impact when it does hit, right? I mean, here we are reacting on the podcast to a leaked draft opinion like we would if, you know, it was the real deal. So, you know, they're getting some traction in the leak is all I would say to that. But right now, abortion's still legal, no matter what that troll Sam Alito says.
Abortion is still legal. And I don't know. This is a tough time. It's a tough day. It's a day not today. We weren't waiting for today. We were waiting for a day that was going to be similar today, but we weren't waiting for today. But I think it's important from my perspective, I think it's important to focus on what is critical, and that is how it is once Roe is reversed, how it is people are going to get care, how it is we can tell the stories of abortion providers and people who need abortions and what that landscape is going to look like. I think as journalists, we have a real role to play in that. And I would like to encourage any other journalists who are listening to this podcast to jump in. If you work at a newsroom that hasn't written a story about abortion, or that puts the abortion stories, you know, below the fold, we even do below the fold on the internet, or on the, you know, the fifth page, maybe talk to your editors. Maybe talk to people about how much of a moment this is and how critical it is that we focus on care and not on theatrics. Because quite frankly, waving coat hangers around and wandering around in red capes and white bonnets, it's fucking theatrics and I'm tired of it. Well,
all right.
Bizarrely, I think this is the episode that is going to take us over 1 million downloads for the Boom Lawyered podcast. The little podcast that could,
that
we just cooked
up
5-6 years ago. We're hitting 1 million downloads on the day that something has never happened before, a leaked opinion reversing Roe versus Wade. I mean, I'm so sweaty. I don't even know what to do with myself right now.
It feels like kismet. I'm sorry. It just feels fated that we would hit a million downloads on some sort of wildly off the chain news from the Supreme Court. Listeners, thank you. I don't even know what to say. That's just,
thank you.
You listened to us for a long time.
You've listened to us babble and make weird noises and ramble and crack jokes for 1 million episodes. And we appreciate you so much, not because we want to keep doing this, we want to keep bringing the law to the people, but because by listening to this, you're helping bring the law to the people.
Yes.
Because you now know how to talk about these issues with people who may not either be on your side or who are on your side, but have been focusing on other things and don't have that language quite yet. You are part of the solution to this problem that we are all facing. And we thank you so much for joining us for these 1 million downloads.
Whew.
Anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up for us today.
It is.
It's going to be a It's going to be a hootenanny of a day. If you want to talk about any of this stuff with us, you can always find us on Twitter. I'm at Angry Black Lady. Jess is at Hegemommy, H-E-G-E-M-O-M-M-Y. You're definitely going to want to follow Rewire News Group on Twitter and on Instagram. Our social channels are going to be chock full of information. And again, thank you so much for sticking with us for 1 million downloads. And we will, what will we do, Jess?
We will see you on the tubes, folks.
We'll see you on the tubes for download 1,000,001.
Woo!
Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Jessica Mason Piglow and Imani Gandhi. Mark Folletti produces the show.